happening, QB listeners? Yeah, no, that didn't work. But it's okay. We're back with another episode of the QB List podcast. It's Brian and Mario here to break down the NFC East. We've got four teams in this division. We have to go over top to bottom. But Mario, first, how are you doing?
Brian, I am doing well. I will say this was a fun division too. Not only because I'm an Eagles fan, I'm a homer. You can tell if you're watching, I got my Brandon Graham jersey on, had to rep. But this is just a fun division for fantasy. So I'm very excited to break this one down.
Another one of those carousel style teams where I feel like you could kind of place a lot of these teams in a bunch of different orders. Top and the bottom might be a little bit more understood, but who knows? Maybe we get some splash from these teams that finished at the bottom. A lot of excitement, I think, just in general around the offenses on these teams. So let's get to it. Let's break down the NFC East. And of course, we have to start in the winner of the division. The Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, I know. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. They're coming into 2026 with 10.5 wins is what Vegas has them projected for. 11 or more wins over the last three seasons. 11-6, 14-3, and 11-6. Playoff bound in those 11 win seasons. They're just...
Yeah.
They don't make the splash there in the playoffs. It's just one and done. But of course, we know that Super Bowl was brought home there in that 14-3 season. A lot of talk last year around the head coach, Nick Sirianni, going into year number six. Is it him? I feel like he's just always on the hot seat, you know, just always being talked about there in every other season for him.
Yes, it's a perpetual hot seat. And you and I have even discussed too when Kellen Moore left to take the Saints job a couple years ago. You brought up the question. It's like, would we have rather just promoted Kellen Moore and let Sirianni walk? And it's like, that's a crazy thought. And I say, no, Sirianni's a leader of men. He's my coach. He's not going anywhere. But boy, was that a thought experiment that I pondered on for probably longer than I should have. But he keeps getting the job done. What are we going to say?
He falls into the crux of head coaches that don't call plays. You know, like you are going to have ups and downs when it comes to the offensive coordinator position. And sometimes you're a good enough coach to kind of coach through those hard points, you know, like Dan Campbell, as we see John Harbaugh. I mean, outside of him just getting, you know, fired from the Ravens, but, you know, for most, that's kind of what you see Tomlin for years and years. But he falls susceptible to that. So here we go. Another new OC with Sean Mannion coming up. I mean, just perma backup quarterback, you know, one of those smart guys. He's always in the room, the quarterback room, sometimes hanging out with some really smart quarterbacks. And this is what they turn into. We had quite a few, you know, the Commanders we're going to talk about. They did the same thing. But how is the outlook? Because, I mean, Vic Fangio coming back for year three. You have to be excited about the defense with all these young players.
We're very excited about the defense. We don't talk a lot of defense in this fantasy pod, but they will have a terrific defense, a stacked schedule. Look at the teams they get to play a few times each year. So I'm excited about the defense. But the offense, let's jump into the OC. Like you said, it's just like every single year this team gets a new offensive coordinator, it feels like, because they either get a job or they're a total bum.
Which so is about those OU quarterbacks, you know, Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, the just always revolving door on the OCs.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, I don't know what they're doing to people. But so let's see. Jalen Hurts, first thing I want to talk about, this is a non-fantasy thing, but he was the 17th best quarterback, according to GM, scout, staff. Everybody's seen the ESPN article at this time. That's crazy. So where are we drafting the 17th best quarterback? He was about QB9 last year. ADP, he's going around QB6 this year, around 60 ADP. He is the easiest strength of schedule, right? Like that's something we talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that's going to be questionable is the tush push, right? Like we love the tush push as fantasy managers because easy 6 points. Maybe real football fans are sick of watching it. And they kind of got their wish last year. It looked very stoppable. So it's going to be really curious. People have said that the formula is kind of like now out there about how to beat it. And like I said, it was very stoppable last year. So I think that's a big question mark. But last thing I want to just bring up about Jalen Hurts is that last year, his worst season on a points per game basis, but he was still quarterback 8. So what a great floor. I think he's still someone you want to target. You're just, do you want to pay the price for what he's going to be going for ADP wise?
And it's the interesting situation of course, like that's the nice thing with him is the floor, you know, the rushing, if is it there or not. And then if the, the tush push, because like when you look at the passes, they rank 27th among all the NFL in the passes that year, you know, 31.3 passes per game. It's not great. It's not great, especially when like plays per game, they're under 60, you know, they were 24th in plays per game. Again, Sean Mannion's going to come in here. We're hearing a little bit more of that Sean McVay esque offense. But they also lost their number one target, or what should have been their number one target, depending on you know, who you ask around that locker room. But Jalen Hurts, I think it's the price that I'm still intrigued. Like, it's hard to say where I have him ranked because I have him at 4, 5, and 6, depending on what time of the day and which day of the week. But it's kind of like that safer, that second tier. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, tier their own. They're up there at the top. But then you've got the Drake Mays, the Jaden Daniels, the Jalen Hurts. You know, Joe Burrow is going to be in that discussion, of course. Dak Prescott, as we're going to get to. We've got a lot of quarterbacks, some high flying quarterbacks here as far as ADP goes in this division.
Yeah, it's a good division.
I like me some Jalen Hurts.
So I think that's exactly what it is. It's just like, where does he fall? Like someone like Joe Burrow, who you think is just going to be slinging, we'll say 40 plus touchdowns, or do you take the upside of the potential legs you're going to get from Jalen Hurts? So I like him a lot. I'm very excited. And I think the last point is just like this new offensive coordinator, right? Like it's his brand new first stint as an offensive coordinator. So we really don't know what to expect. But like you said, like people think it could be like that McVay style, and his offense is usually pretty good for both fantasy and real football.
Yeah, this team was 19th in points per game last year, and that was not good for any of us. Nice. We weren't happy. So we need a big bump. We need to get this team back into the top 12 where they belong. Let's talk about the running back situation. Saquon Barkley. Still old Saquon, or have we lost the explosive, elusive plays that we got in that magical first season here with the Eagles?
Well, we talked about it when we discussed the NFC North. The Madden curse is real, so expect it for Caleb Williams to have that hit. It's what happened to Saquon. Obviously, he also hit that 300 touches mark. That's something we're always fearful of. But this seems like a good bounce back year. Third easiest strength of schedule. I see about 9 ADP like 9th running back overall. So I take the over on that. I think he's going to finish. I think I see guys like Genty, Achan, Chase Brown. This is probably just the bias in me, but I take Barkley over all those guys.
Ooh. Achan, I'll entertain the argument just because that team is going to be just buns. Absolutely terrible. I don't want to mess with Miami this year. Genty, I definitely want. Like, I'd even put Saquon probably in the Omarion Hampton, Kenneth Walker. I'd have Chase Brown ahead of him. Derrick Henry would be in that same. Like, Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley, I think I'm okay with Derrick Henry. I'm not saying that there's a wrong choice in the two. I think they might be same tier for me. But I am. Give me some Baltimore, man. We won't be covering the AFC North, unfortunately. Jay and Brett drew that straw. We're here on the NFC. But let's keep talking about Saquon. As far as what you're paying for, I think that's the nice thing. Like, you're getting him early to mid-second round, and that's more of a that risk mitigation is kicked back quite a bit more than what we got last year.
100%. Last year, there was a ton of risk, right, drafting him so high up, even though there was that kind of expectation, something we talk about a lot, is that you hit that 300 touches mark, it is a little dangerous for running backs, and unfortunately rang true last year. But again, for the price you're paying him this year, you know, I'd say mid-ish second round, maybe you get him at like that, if you're at the 12 or 10 spot, whatever in your league, you get him at the turn, I think you're very happy with that.
100% agree. All right, wide receivers here. We got some movement. This was one of the most dramatic like off-season stories that we had that was attached to this that will just forever be memed, and it's going to be fun. But the biggest, obviously, move is A.J. Brown moving back to his old coach with Mike Vrabel, hanging out there in Boston. What does that mean? That means we finally get it, folks. Devonta Smith can be the number one that he was drafted to be. My goodness. So what do? They also draft Mekhi Lemon in the first round. Yep. They get him at 20. They do a fun little jump over the Steelers to snag him. And what else do they do? Dallas Goedert, yes, a free agent. They didn't want him back. Not initially, because it took a while finally re-signed on the one-year deal, restructured pretty well for the Eagles to kind of get away with that. And then they get Eli Stowers. This athletic freak everybody was just humming and hawing about. They're the second tight end out of Vanderbilt. So we've got a different team as far as these pass catchers. How, Eagles fan, hit me with it.
Oh my goodness. Excited. Yeah. You covered it already, but AJ Brown, see ya. Thanks for the memories. We don't go to two Super Bowls, win one without you, but you brand new OC, first time OC, get no drama in the locker room, right? You want positive vibes only. And so Devonta Smith, in the 3 years since 2024 without AJ Brown, very small sample size, but in those three games since 2024, Smith has commanded a 33% target share. So we like that. But again, that was before Lemon, before all that. So I love Smith. I think he's absolutely going to be worth his ADP, which I don't have in front of me right now. No, but Mekhi Lemon, I have his. He's going about wide receiver 40, about 93 overall ADP. You mentioned Smith, that he was drafted.
Yeah. Smith's coming in at 14 right now, wide receiver 14. Fifth round, mid-fifth round on Sleeper, 401 on ESPN and 307 on Yahoo. So honestly, Sleeper is the platform that you want to be attacking Devonta Smith. They're Yahoo. I'll pay it, I guess, on Yahoo, but you're calling your shot that Devonta Smith's going to be a top 10 guy at that point.
100%. And something I meant to bring up in the Jalen Hurts section, and I forgot, but the Eagles had two games last year where they did not attempt a pass. They did not complete a pass in the second half, and they won both those games.
Defense.
It's the formula to success. Yeah, I mean, Saquon Barkley probably killed it last year, right, with those numbers, but no, Mekhi Lemon. So both of those guys, I like Smith for what you're paying for him there. Mekhi Lemon, incredible intangibles. We'll just have to see how much usage he gets behind Smith, but these first round wide receivers are always exciting. I think he's probably going to be my second best wide receiver. I think the guy that's going to Tennessee, who we're not going to talk about the AFC, like you mentioned, that's Jay and Brett, but I'm really high on Lemon. I think he's going to be worth the price.
Mekhi Lemon's coming in right around wide receiver 37 on average, round 10 in ESPN. So shots will be had there. Sleeper coming in about mid seventh round and then late eighth round on Yahoo. I think Mekhi Lemon is as good of a shot. There's some good wide receivers in this range, I will say.
See, tell me his range. Tell me who he's surrounded by.
So Courtland Sutton goes three wide receivers ahead of him. Give me Mekhi Lemon all day long.
Yeah,
all day long, I want Mekhi Lemon. Alec Pierce goes right ahead of him. I think that there's a higher ceiling for Alec Pierce than I think there is for Mekhi Lemon, especially right off the bat.
It's definitely right off the bat.
Parker Washington. Folks, we don't even get to have that argument.
Thank goodness we don't have to talk about the Jags wide receivers.
And then Chris Godwin goes right there, too. I am very invested in Chris Godwin this year, so I would take Godwin over Mekhi Lemon. But Michael Wilson, I see him.
Oh, fantasy winner.
I think Mekhi Lemon's in a better situation than Michael Wilson.
Just because we know at least who's throwing him the ball.
And he seems to be rocked in as the number two. Like we talked about Dontavian Wicks, they traded for him this offseason. What does this mean? I mean, folks, if you don't know Dontavian Wicks, it's because 2 years ago you weren't in fantasy Twitter in April. This guy is a yards per route run just God. But the biggest part of the wide receiver position is actually catching. It's not being able to run those routes. So that's where he falters. Three, four games, he might have some cool catches. You know, big performance because of a touchdown catch. But, like, we're not playing that game with the Eagles pass catchers that deep.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Like you said, their pass volume, you're not even going to take a chance on the third guy catching the ball. But speaking of the third guy catching the ball, we'll go to Dallas Goedert, who they did re-sign, who they wanted to re-sign. They just didn't want to pay him an exuberant amount of money, and they finally came to terms on that one-year deal. But I see him right now, tight end 14, about 120 ADP. I just want to give quick numbers for him. In 2019, he finished with 5 touchdowns, the second highest of his career. Last year, he had 11 touchdowns. That's more than he's had the rest of his career combined. Have to expect some regression there, but who knows? The OC's coming from Green Bay. You saw how much Green Bay loved feeding Tucker Kraft. I love him for this price. I think that's a big thing. My big takeaway for these Eagles players, I guess depending on the platform, right? You said some like Smith going 307, that's a little rich for me. But for the most part, I think people are undervaluing just because of how infrequently they passed last year. And of course, that could happen again. Jalen Hurts, 17th ranked quarterback in the league. But I really like the value for all of these guys. I say in my Brandon Graham jersey.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert's going anywhere from about 810 to 907. Just out of that, I don't like paying for tight end range. You know, at this point, you're picking up bench players, so I'm okay. And he falls into streamer candidate. You know, you might end up dropping him after 3 or 4 weeks because of a bad matchup or whatever situation and pick him back up at week 7 or 8. That's kind of how I'm going to view him this year. Eli Stowers, everything I've seen, it hasn't been great coming out of camp, the reports. I think this is a for-the-future type pick, and because the passing pie is so small on this team, or it has been, I don't want to invest too much really outside of Devonta Smith.
100%. Lemon, you could take a flyer on if, you know, 10th round, 9th round even. I like taking him there. But you're absolutely right. The Stowers pick is Dallas Goedert on a one-year deal. That's looking ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. Nice. Would we say the over-under was for this team?
10.5.
10.5. Nice. Who are you taking?
Oh, my goodness. 13 wins minimum.
This team. Ooh, that's spicy. That's spicy.
No, I'll come in at 12. Let's be real.
But the seventh best schedule, that's hard to kind of scoff at. So, yeah, I'm going to take the over as well. Give me the Eagles over.
Go, Bird. Moving
to Dallas. Here we go. Interesting. Interesting team, this Dallas Cowboys. 7-10. Last 2 years, this team has been 7-10. Vegas has them projected at 9.5 wins. We have Brian Schottenheimer coming into year two. Not too bad. I thought it was a pretty decent experience last year with just the high volume, the high flying offense that we had. CeeDee Lamb went down. Well, they made a move to get George Pickens, and he was just a humming. Great pick. I mean, you know, one of those borderline league win picks where you got him in the draft. They scored the 7th most points on offense, 32nd most points, or the most points allowed is what this defense did. The beauty. It was the the NFC Bengals, or the Bengals, the AFC Cowboys. Who knows? Their defense is both so trash. Funny. And it gave us so many points, man. It was juicy what we were working with here.
Credit to Jerry Jones, because he knows how to get eyeballs on his team. You build this team that's stacked with offensive fantasy production and that does not play defense, because everybody's going to draft your players. Everyone wants to see how your players do against his team. Credit to Jerry. So, I mean, they won't be good at football. They're going to be third in their division this year, but people will watch them.
I can see this division kind of fighting out there at the very end. Now, granted, they have the 4th most difficult schedule. That doesn't bode for him very well, but either way, we've seen this kind of this division just dogfight it out, duke it out. This was the first time we had back-to-back division winners since the Eagles did it in 03 and 04. So this is kind of a rare thing for him. But as far as like movement in the team range, like not quite a bit happened. Like I said, they were able to maintain the rights to George Pickens, franchise tag him. Yep. He tagged him. He's out there. We've seen him working out with the boys, like in voluntary situation. He is working out. He's playing. So like, these are things that mature people do. As you get older, you mature a little bit more, as I've heard. I haven't experienced it yet, but we're seeing that hopefully this is the direction he's going, because that's honestly what scares the hell out of me. What if this team's out of playoff contention by the time we get to playoff, the fantasy playoffs?
Yeah.
Does George Pickens just have I don't care.
Tight hammy or something, and he's like, guys, I don't want to go out there. And That's a really good point. Oh my goodness. Okay, that we're diving into wide receivers. We're QB list. Let's start at the top and we'll make our way there. Because every position we could talk fantasy at this point.
Yeah. 5th most points scored by the quarterback was the Dallas Cowboys last year. Dak was again disrespected and scooped up everywhere.
Absolutely. Dakota Prescott. You know what it is I always see people draft him, and this happened especially last year. He had a week, a poor performance week one. He gets dropped, and then he absolutely kills it from the rest of the season. So I see about a QB10 projection, and that might even be low, honestly. Like you said, he does have a difficult schedule. I think it's like...
Was that the Brazil game? The Philadelphia Cowboys game week one?
No, they played the Packers week one, the Cowboys.
No, last year. That game that was such a stinker for them. Or no, the Packers played in Brazil.
Yeah, it was Eagles-Packers in Brazil last year.
Okay, I couldn't remember what the situation. But yeah, he had only 188 yards at week one, 0 touchdowns, didn't do a whole lot. But after that,
he was electric. It's so ingrained in my brain, because I was in 2 leagues where somebody dropped him after week one. And, you know, as you saw, like he became... an absolute house, finishing as top five quarterback. So all that to say, really safe floor, you know, barring injury. He's played 16 games four times since 2019, and he has at least 30 touchdowns in all of them. And we're talking about this offense, like this offense is engineered to score touchdowns. I think Dak's one of those guys you get very late because people don't think much about him, even though, again, he's going to finish top and top year after year. But great pick. Great value.
Yeah, I love what you're paying for him. People finally kind of caught on, I feel like, a bit more, depending on the league that you're looking in. Just because I've seen him go. My Scott Fish. I did my Scott Fish Bowl on Sunday this past week. He went as QB2 off the board.
Oh my god!
In the second round, he was QB2 off the board. Yahoo has him at 7th round. You get him in 9th round in Sleeper and ESPN. That's the value on attack on him.
Yeah, 7's higher than I would.
Do we bring up the ridiculousness of him though? The fact that he is the new Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, he was the Katy Perry of his day. He was hot. He was cold. Dak finished as QB6, 31, 3, Hurt. 18. 8, Hurt. 32, 2, Hurt. 14, 10, 7. Yeah, those first 4 years was great. A lot of rushing. 6 touchdowns across his first 3 seasons. Wow. Haven't quite seen that really in his older years. But dude's a beast when he plays all the games.
This might be too much praise. I was going to say CMC. It's like, if he's healthy, he's a terrific fantasy player. Like I said, 30 touchdowns every time he's played 16 games. So it'll just, will he be healthy?
I will say this would be the dud year if the pattern continues. So if he's not good, but otherwise I'm in on Dak.
There you go.
Let's talk about Javonte Williams. Re-signed with the team, came in last year on a 1-year deal, got himself a decent amount of money, 2-year deal. It's kind of soft there on that second one. So hopefully he plays well, gets to retain a little bit of that. But I have to say, I don't like the price this year on Javonte Williams. The beauty of him last year was where you got him. Nobody wanted him. They faded him. Jaden Blue was supposed to be a thing. No, he is Woody Marks. You know, these are the pass catching guys. These aren't the thumpers. Javonte Williams went out there and had a career year. I don't want him this year because his finish is where I've projected is where his price is.
What's his price?
It's too high for me. Right now it's RB17. He's going anywhere from 308 on Sleeper to the beginning of the 4th round in Yahoo and ESPN.
Oh my goodness. So Brian, this happens quite a few times on the show, but this is huge disagree because I will say I give one of these every episode, my league winning move alert. Take him in the 3rd round. If you're an early in the 3rd round, snag him up. People will criticize you. People like Brian will be like, he ain't worth that price. He is worth that price. I am telling you're not afraid of, like you said, Jaden Blue or Malik Davis behind him. I just see the path for a top 10 finish this year. And when you see a path for that, you got to take, here comes the soundboard.
Dropping bombs on you, folks. That's what we're doing here.
So, I mean, this offense, there we go. I hate to say it because he's a Cowboy and I'm wearing the Brandon Graham jersey, but it's just a terrific path. 7th easiest schedule for a running back. I just see it happening. There's just nobody else contesting him in this backfield. This offense will score touchdowns. Top 10 finish.
I mean, Breece Hall goes right next to him, and I'd rather have Breece.
Kyrie. You'd rather have a Jet? You'd rather have a Jet? How many times do we get hurt drafting Jets offensive players?
Look, we don't talk defense here, but like I do think that needs to be taken into consideration. I think this defense is worlds better than what it was. And by saying that, they can move up 16 spots and still be middle of the pack at 16 because they were 32nd last year, you know? So take it with a grain of salt as far as like how much I'm putting emphasis on that. But if this team is now 16th, they don't score near as much. You know, you have to think that they're going to slow that down, which maybe that bodes well for Javonte Williams a little bit more. Like his rushing touchdown line, I think he's top 3 or top 5 as far as like most rushing touchdowns in the season, because that's what they do. They get close. They're going to pound the rock in there and they're going to give it to him. And I don't disagree with that, but there's another running back that goes right behind him in this division we're about to talk about. And I might like him more. And he goes by.
Oh my gosh.
Several picks.
Little teaser. All right. So that's Javonte Williams. Seems like we're a little split. I think he's absolutely worth the reach, but Brian's a little conservative. We'll see. I mean, that's something we're going to circle back on week 16, 17 when I'm doing my victory laps.
CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 5. George Pickens, wide receiver 6. We have a similar issue. I will pay for one, but I won't pay for the other.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's a fun thing.
How are you looking?
It seems like the Cowboys feel the same way, where they don't want to pay for it.
Very true. I'm right there with them.
Oh, okay. So I was going to start with CD because, he's ranked a little bit higher and he's obviously very good. The biggest argument for him, I think, is just like, how many guys are you really taking over him? Like 4-5 different wide receivers max. Maybe like Justin Jefferson with his question mark at quarterback is going to be one of those. But although CeeDee Lamb's definitely top 5. And then when I see George Pickens ranked, I see him actually ranked 6, 7, 8, 9. I see him wide receiver 10. And it's just like, I don't know. He was wide receiver 4 last year, including missing a game. So like, that's just another question. Like, do you take someone like AJ Brown, Nico Collins over Pickens? And it's like, I don't know if you do. But can both guys realistically finish top 10? Like, now that's another question to ask. So
I think so. We've seen it historically happen. Now we're seeing something also happen historically over the last 2 or 3 years, how the NFL, we are changing. We are going through this isn't, the mid-teens, the 2015s, the 2017s anymore. The game's evolving. The personnel is changing, how they're playing the ball, the amount of play, all of that kind of stuff is moving around. But I do think it's possible. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying the direction this team is moving tells me that it's harder for it to happen if this defense is better. If CD plays his full allotment of snaps, I know he played 14 games, but his snap share was drastically cut down. He only played 62% of snaps despite playing 14 of the 17. That changes some things for me. I do think that he is better than George Pickens. I still think that he is in his prime. I still think that he's going to go out there and dominate. I will pay the CD Lamb price, but I think George Pickens has more intangibles.
I expected it flipped.
I don't want to pay for George Pickens. I think that you have risk just as much of anything on the risk, and he carries more than CD Lamb does as far as his attitude, him being on the franchise tag. So yeah,
right.
I'm kind of out on Pickens.
That's so interesting. Like I said, I'm looking at the guys Pickens is around right now, and it's like Chris Olave, who had a fantastic season last year, I think kind of unexpected. And they just drafted a rookie wide receiver there. So in New Orleans, Rashee Rice without Mahomes to start the year. I already mentioned Nico Collins and the question marks quarterback there, AJ Brown in a new team. I can talk myself into Pickens over all of those guys because this offense just scores points.
Yeah,
but you're right. Those are great question marks.
Yeah, I don't disagree with it. No, maybe I shouldn't say I'm not out on Pickens. I'm just not in on Pickens. I am, middle of the pack. Here, I'll actually pull up. Never mind. I was going to say I was going to pull up my best ball exposure and tell you what that is. 8%, right around 8% is kind of like average for a player. And yeah, I'm like at 4% on Pickens. Yikes, I'm at 13% on CD Lamb. I do like CD this year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We got one position left. Let's talk to Jake Ferguson really quick.
Sorry, it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, the soundboard's not as good as that for that one. But only 2 tight ends had more touchdowns than Jake Ferguson last year, which shocked me. Trey McBride and Dallas Goedert. Quick Dallas Goedert shout out. So is he going to regress, or is he the James Cook of tight ends where we're going to say he regresses and still is just going to put up all these touchdowns?
I'd be willing to bet that James Cook is more of an outlier than Jake Ferguson. And look, I don't want to kick the guy completely down. I just think he is an average fantasy tight end.
Yeah.
What made him great last year was the fact that we were missing CeeDee Lamb. He could go out there alongside of George Pickens and go crush. And he did. And he did a great job at that. And I would love to have him on my team if the same situation pops up. But I don't want to do is pay too much for Jake Ferguson and the fact that I feel locked into having to have him on my roster. I don't want to drop him because I spent too much on him. And I don't want to play him because I found this other great piece on the waiver wire that I really want. So it's
well said.
They put you in a tough position, kind of like the double-edged sword. So Jake Ferguson, I think he's going to be a great waiver wire pickup, but consistent tight end, he will not be.
Yes, that's fair. He had 8 touchdowns last year, which is more than his first 3 years combined, which was 7 total. And before his year before, he had 8, he had 0 touchdowns.
Is that the second tight end in this division that we've talked about doing that last year?
Yes. And honestly, I think I got the Dallas Goedert one wrong. So we'll fix that in post.
I think it was over. He has over his last 4 years, he's only scored one more touchdown than he did last year over the previous four is what it was.
That's
really close. Yeah.
I'm mixing up my Jake Ferguson and Dallas Goedert stats because he's got Dallas in his name. So it's like, where do the notes go?
Hey, Dallas wanted him to go there. Oh, they were upset when that happened. But yeah. Anything else on this team?
Like I said, credit to Jerry. He knows how to make us have eyeballs on his team. What's the over-under for them? It's got to be 6.5, right? Because they keep getting 7 wins.
They're at 9.5 wins this year.
Taking the under. They finished third in this division.
I think they can get 10 wins. I'll give them 10 wins.
Damn.
I mean,
that's just because you're in cowboy blue. What can we say?
Oh, gosh. Don't associate me with them. Dad has a photo
into the YouTube
a cowboy
to see
shirt
yourself,
when I was a small child, and I just try to pay money to get rid of it, but I can't. Not yet.
That'll be the thumbnail for this episode, maybe.
Right. All right. Let's talk about the Commanders, because there wasn't a lot to talk about after last year. It was rough after the great, brilliant year one that we had of Jaden Daniels' rookie season. This team finished 5-12 after being 12-5 the previous year. Vegas has them right now at 7.5 wins. This will be year three for Dan Quinn. We brought in David Blau. Again, we talked about the quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks ascending into OC roles. He will be one of them. Also, brand new defensive coordinator, but we'll save that for the IDP guys. what did this team do to address personnel problems? We retained Marcus Mariota. That's great. I think that's a great plug. I guess let's start with the quarterback here. Jaden Daniels, great. We have Marcus Mariota there as an unbelievable backup. But do you believe that Jaden Daniels can get us back to where we were in the rookie season?
Brian, short answer, no. For he is on my do not draft list.
Oh, yikes.
Jaden Daniels. Yes. No. Right now he's ADP of QB5. And I'm asking why. He was quarterback 34 last year. I know it's because of injury, but listen, that facts are facts. He also is the 7th most difficult strength of schedule for a quarterback. His two final games of the season, week 16 for fantasy purposes, week 16 at Minnesota, yikes, week 17 at Jacksonville. Not as scary, but Saxonville was legit last year, and I'm afraid of them this year. And that's, again, if he even makes it that far, because he missed how many games last year due to injury. So I am not touching anything. If Jaden Daniels fell to me in the 7th round, I wouldn't touch him.
Yeah, you say 7th hardest for quarterback, 8th hardest overall for the team. It's not going to be like it's an uphill battle. That's for sure. Starting off Eagles, Cowboys, Seahawks, Colts, Giants, and then San Francisco before going into a bye. It could be rough, but I think if this was a better franchise, can I say that? Yeah, I think if this was a better run, like just of late, at least the history of this franchise hasn't been great. Now that they got new ownership, hopefully we're right in that ship. But they yet again did not do anything to address what I feel like they should have addressed. Last year, what did they do? They said, ooh, we've got aging Terry McLaurin. We're not going to bring in any other pieces except for an old and busted Debo.
Oh, they did? Yeah, Debo.
And we're going to draw out this payment process for McLaurin until he sits out for the whole offseason and comes back hurt because he didn't get the exposure he needed. So what did they do this year? I don't know. Debo still could come back. Stephon Diggs right now is in talk because Brandon Ayuk has lost his freaking marbles.
Brandon Ayuk desperately wants to be a commander. Freaking
marbles. So they brought in Antonio Williams, third-round pick, but their second pick in the draft. They also brought in Catron Allen, the running back out of Penn State. They do that to add to the myriad of running backs that they have on this team. Oh, we got 5 running backs we're looking at right now. The draft capital is slim to none.
Oh, my goodness. I narrowed it down to at least a 3-headed monster, but you're right. There are 5 on this team right now. I just made notes for Rashid White, who's been pretty solid in his time at Tampa. Jacory Kroski-Merritt, Bill, who was a darling last year. And then you mentioned the rookie they picked up from Penn State, Catron Allen. So last year, Bill stole our hearts, finished as RB 28. And I guess, do we think he's going to be higher or lower? Like, do we think that that White they acquired, right? You know,
Rashad White from the Buccaneers, from Bucks. Yeah.
So it's like, I would think more often than not, if you sign a guy like that, he's going to be your lead back. But again, after Bill, the homegrown talent, looked great last year, he could be the guy. So I'm just trying to avoid this backfield.
Yeah, average ADP right now, they're actually going back to back. Bill at 38, Rashad White at 39. You're seeing these guys go anywhere from round 8 in sleeper, or 8.11 for Bill and sleeper.
Okay.
Going to about 12.02 in ESPN for the three of them. Like, these are late running backs. This is the
100%.
The no RB. If you're punting on the RB position, this is kind of the way. I think both guys can have a place. I think both guys will be rostered in most leagues for most of the season. Bill, I think, is going to be more dependent on the success of the season. Does he get touchdowns? That is what he is going to be on the back of. And Rashad White, it might be how bad is this team? Because Rashad White, we've seen what he can do out there with the Buccaneers. He'll go out there on passing plays. He'll go, pass block. And if this team's down and out and they're in garbage time, it's going to be Rashad White. So how you believe this team's going to function might be how you draft them, but we're not drafting them with confidence, I guess. Rashad White, I get it. There's the best ball hive, folks. But that's not – we're redraft mind.
We are redraft mind. And I agree. If you're taking them in practically the 9th, 10th, 11th round, they're worth the price. But otherwise – and one plus side for them, you mentioned the team as a whole has a very difficult strength of schedule. But I have the 6th easiest for running backs is what I'm seeing for them. So – it's just upsetting that it's such a minefield of a backfield.
Yeah, because this team, they have some holes. They have holes. The wide receivers, we're looking at Terry McLaurin. I do like Terry McLaurin. I am very bullish on him this year. I think we can get some magic. But like Antonio Williams, he is a third round pick. I have a lot of Antonio Williams. We got 20% of them in best ball. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
But I'm with this whole meltdown of Brandon Ayuk, seeing like he's probably not coming here, if he's the number two wide receiver, I don't think he's going to be the number two target, because we're going to talk about that position in a second. But we're talking about the likes of De'Ami Brown, Van Jefferson, Treylon Burks. Yes, folks, that Treylon Burks.
Eagles
first
legend.
Round swap skis with A.J. Brown. Give me Antonio Williams. Oh. Decent enough profile.
Yeah, I do like Antonio Williams, and especially for the price, because I'm looking at Terry McLaurin, and again, from what I see, this position group has the 4th hardest strength of schedule. Terry missed a ton of time last year because of injury. Their previous number one wide receiver last year, Debo, like you said, I don't think he's re-signed with the team. I think he's just like a floating free agent. And
Indianapolis and Debo have had a lot of rumors lately, which I think he'd actually fit really well on the team for what he does. So I kind of hate it and love it all at the same time.
Daniel Jones gets his guy. Or Tony Rich gets his guy. Is Tony Rich still there? Watch we don't mouth. Cover that division. Yeah.
Watch your mouth.
So Terry, what are the chances Terry and his quarterback are both going to be healthy? And I don't think that's going to be the case. So this is another instance where I think the ADP is a little bit too high. I think Antonio Williams, for his price, if you want to get exposure in this offense, you do it there.
He's going to be like last pick in most of your redraft rounds. So like, yes. I'm not banking on anything.
Round 12, 13.
This definitely. Is just a name to know, kind of keep an eye out on. If you only drafted a couple of wide receivers there early and then you started hammering that running back, quarterback, tight end position, this would be a wide receiver I could look at that could kind of get some steam early just because of the situation.
Exactly that.
Keenan
he has
Allen
a pass.
Yeah.
Oh, love some Keenan Allen.
Not quite that steam, but you know. Terry McLaurin, where is he going right now? Wide receiver 23. I'll take him Well, it's hard saying that because I'm
there
steaming up around. Like Waddle goes ahead of him. I do like Waddle more. Devontae Adams.
I like Waddle more.
I think Terry McLaurin is
I would
a
take
higher
Adams
ceiling
over.
Than Adams. I think Adams might be safer.
Adams will get you a touchdown a game.
McLaurin
won't get you 10 touchdowns on the season.
Terry McLaurin, I think Terry McLaurin's safer than Emeka Buka.
I think Emeka Buka's a question mark, but he could. Great. Emeka Buka's an interesting one. We'll get to him next episode. Yeah, that's a little teaser. Luther Burden is someone that we've talked about previously. And I see them going back to back. I see Terry at 22, Luther Burden at 23. I think that's Terry. Where, yeah, I think that's when I would take Terry just because it has a clearer path forward. But I see Mike Evans at 26. I would take Mike Evans over him. I see DJ Moore at 27. I would take DJ
Moore.
You're
sitting there making an injury argument and you're saying you're going to take Mike Evans over Terry McLaurin. Get out of here.
One time he gets hurt. One time.
Wait, who are you talking about? One time gets hurt. Mike Evans?
He always gets his 1,000 yards, regardless of what happens.
Except last year, he is the poster boy for getting hurt.
Oh, but he still shows up and gets his 1,000 yards. I feel better about Mike Evans getting 1,000 yards than Terry.
I guess he's missed way less games than I thought. But like, there's
he's
always
missed
like
so few
missed
games.
One, missed one, none, one. Multiple,
oh man,
one, one, two, three.
It's that two that gets you. That's where it is, Brian. I get it.
Last year's eight. You. Like, come on.
Last year, of course, and the most recent year, and he's older now. So like. But I would just take the upside. I would take.
I want to look at snap percentage on those games played. That's what I want to see. How many of those games were under 50%?
That's the homework. That's what we're going to lead the NFC South episode with. Snap percentage for Mike Evans in his honor. Let's talk tight ends.
Let's do it.
You know, Zach Ertz, I thought he was still with this team. I don't think he is. I think he ended his time with the team on that injury play. Hate to see that. Eagles legend. Never forget. But they have Chigakonkwo now, who is, I feel like, a fantasy darling from Tennessee Titans, like, at these past couple of years. So, as far as guys in the 14-ish plus range, I like Chig a lot.
I love me some Chig. Another guy. I have more, I have 18% Chig in best ball. He has been one of my favorite late-round tight ends to go after. This is a player you won't even have to draft. Like, if you go into the strategy, I want to pick up way more running backs and I want to pick up a defense or a kicker. Maybe you don't play in defense kicker leagues and you just don't want to draft something so you can, like, double up and decide. Don't draft a tight end and then pick a Chigakonkwo right before kickoff week one. Because I like just the upside. We're talking about Antonio Williams. Does it work for him? I don't know if it matters because Chigakonkwo might be the number one target in that off. Or maybe number three because Rashad White, honestly, might be the number two option. But... with Chig going where he goes, like Dalton Schultz goes ahead of him. I'm not drafting either one of the guys, but I want Chig ahead of that. Brenton Strange. We're talking about four wide receivers on that team, and you want to get to the tight end? Let's be honest here. No, give me Chig. Kenyon Sadiq, a rookie that plays for the Jets. Give me Chig. Hunter Henry. We know what he is. There is no upside. Give me Chig. Gadsden, that's just a hot mess. I kind of honestly see it a similar situation. Likely Andrews Kincaid. Yeah, a little bit more of an argument there. But yeah, Chigakonkwo. You punt tight end on your league. I think plays the Eagles week one, so maybe it's not the greatest start. But
You mentioned his schedule. He has, from what I see, the Commanders have the most difficult tight end schedule. So I think that's just the biggest knock. I think the talent's there. I think you said the path to target share and volume is there. It's just how much does strength of schedule matter for tight end, and for, again, how catchable is Marcus Mariota's ball? Because Jaden Daniels ain't playing 12 games this season.
That's true. I can respect that. Alrighty. 7.5 wins. What? You're going under? Yeah. No.
That's last place. Last place team in this division.
Yeah. That's understandable. I don't have an argument for him. I've thought that ever since they didn't fire Dan Quinn after Jaden Daniels' rookie season, I thought that this team is just, they're in for it until they pull that trigger. I just don't think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a good coach.
Yeah, it's tough. He has his moments.
Or maybe I just don't think that he's what they need. I think they need way more because they hit the lottery when they didn't need to. Not that they didn't need to. You always want your franchise quarterback. But, like, they weren't in the position to get their franchise quarterback. The line sucked. The defense was suspect. They had no, like, Terry McLaurin was all they have. Aging Terry McLaurin. So, like, they just have so many other things they need to do. Cool. You ready to move on to our last one in the division?
Let's do it.
Let's go, Giants. Man, if this team is not going to be just... so much fun, so much change here. After a 4-13 season, after a 3-14 season the prior year, this team is finally looking at 7.5 wins coming in this year. That's crazy. Right. They cleaned house. John Harbaugh coming from Baltimore. Yeah. I honestly don't think I've ever seen John Harbaugh coach head coach another team, because I just, my memory going past him in the Baltimore days just is fuzzy. Matt Nagy's coming in as the new OC. Yeah, that guy. We'll get into that. This team, they did so well last year in the draft in 2025. Jackson Dart traded back into their first round to looks like what will be their future franchise quarterback. They got their future running back, as we didn't know for a while this offseason, as there were a lot of rumors that they would take Jeremiah Love. But Cam Scadabo broke his leg last year. He's back, flipping back into the starting role, this fourth round running back. And then of course, there's Malik Nabers. We have not seen Malik Nabers, Cam Scadabo, and Jackson Dart all play together. And we won't. No. It sounds like week one. But we'll get into that. So open it up. Let's talk Jackson Dart. Let's talk ADP. Let's talk about that rushing. Let's talk about the swagger. Let's talk about where he's going in fantasy.
Oh, my goodness. The swagger all comes from the X in his name. Like, when did that happen? I don't know why we're spelling Jackson this way. But we're moving past that. I see that they have the sixth easiest strength of schedule. They have a lot of positive strength of schedule, so I'm going to mention it a lot. But I see Dart right now going as QB11. He had a weird start to last year. He had 0 points across his first three games. And you're like, makes sense. He didn't play at all those first three games. Oh, he played. He had 0.3 in one and negative 0.3 in the other. So just perfectly canceled each other out. That's worth calling out. But from weeks 4 to 17, he averaged 20.6 points per game, eighth best among quarterbacks. Brian Driscoll's not there anymore to keep him out of the blue tent. That worries me a little bit, but I have faith that Harbaugh will just make him not even get into the blue tent, right? Just kind of help him not be so reckless and fearless.
Honestly, okay, let me figure out how to say this correctly. Yeah. Not do we care if he goes to the blue medical tent, but do we care if he goes to the blue medical tent? Because do we realize what happens? Do we realize what happens if he doesn't play? We get Jameis Winston back, baby. Russell Wilson is gone. He is retired. He's going to the TV stuff, behind the camera stuff. Jameis Winston's back there behind it, and there's no one else for jump in front of him. So, like, yeah, do I want Jackson Dart to play every single game? Of course. You know, I'm going to have him. But if he has to miss some time because of a concussion or whatever the hell they're doing, I'm okay with Jameis coming out there and rocketing it for Malik Nabers. Just saying.
Okay, if you draft Jackson Dart, though, are you okay with him missing time as your starting QB for fantasy?
If I have Fab so that I can go get the backup, I think I am.
Oh my gosh. So I do think Harbaugh is going to just kind of coach it out of him, or do the best he can. So I like Dart a lot for where he's going. I think have Dart on your board this season. I'll play on words there.
I like that. And because this is a team that had two top 10 picks in this draft. They traded away Dexter Lawrence, and of course their pick there at three. They trade down to five, or they're at five. They took Reese there from Ohio State. So, again, just bolstering this defensive front seven. Added in Maui Noah from Miami, beefing up the offensive line. Because this is the Harbaugh. End of the day, we know what this man wants to do. He wants to run the ball. And if Malik Nabers isn't there for the beginning of the season, they're going to have to run the ball. Matt Nagy. I've seen a lot of discourse about him coming here. Look what Matt Nagy's done to the Kansas City Chiefs over the last few years.
Yes, my first thought.
He also showed up after Tyreek Hill left. So, like, maybe Eric Bieniemy was getting to play with a little bit more firepower there. But Matt Nagy, what did we see with Matt Nagy? Like, think back. Because, like, honestly, is he calling plays in Kansas City? No. Big Red is, right?
Big Red is, yeah.
Let's think back to that Mitch Trubisky season, that magical season that they made the playoffs, that Mitch Trubisky was running and gunning quite a bit. So there's a lot of things that point to maybe this isn't as bad as we think. Maybe we don't need to be so dramatic and so polarizing with our Giants take. Because I do think there's a lot of people that are running heavy with the Giants, that, you know, taking their over really hard on the players. And then there's the haters. I don't know if they're Eagles fans. I don't know who it is. Give me your feel for it.
No, I hate to admit, but I think this team's going to be really good this year. I think, like you said, Jim Harbaugh is going to change things. I think you make a really good point about Matt Nagy's situation, right? Like, people love to slander him because he was dealt a bad hand in Chicago, because Chicago and the forward pass just don't mix. But like you said, hey, you took Mitch Trubisky to the postseason. And just going about this running back room, it's like you teased it, but it's like, yeah, Scadaboo like did a backflip, or at least he tried to at Fanatics Fest. And listen, maybe that worried you because he did not land a clean backflip. I don't know if he could have ever 100% healthy land a clean backflip. So to me, that's a sign that he's healthy. He's back. Giants have the eighth easiest strength of schedule for running back. And Tyrone Tracy Jr., whom I've always been a big fan of, I've really tried to force him into working. Junior's just looking out for other juniors. This is Scataboo's backfield, right? Like Tracy is just pure handcuff. So I love Scataboo for where he's at. I see him right now, ADP 50-ish, running back 19. He is another one kind of similar to the Javonta Williams, where he could have a path to a top 10 finish. A top 12, we'll even say, like, more realistic.
I don't think that's crazy at all. I think the biggest thing that keeps Cam Scataboo out of the top 12 this year is Cam Scataboo. 100%. Like, can you stay healthy, man? Because this guy just runs reckless abandonment. Just go, and you'll love to see it. But how long is this sustainable? Because we talked about Javonte Williams. Cam Scataboo is going two RB positions behind him. Almost a round later. Give me that. Because Malik Nabers, we've seen, like, the leg doesn't look great. Evidently, you know, he'll be there. He'll be ready. Maybe a little time on the pup. But either way, we saw a lot of passes go to Scataboo. And what did they do? They lost Wandale Robinson. But it's okay, Brian. They replaced... No, they didn't replace anything. They took Malachi Fields in the third round.
Is this Darnell Mooney slander?
Look, I gave Darnell Mooney his time in the sun. But I think the moon is set, or the sun has set.
Oh, no, I like that. Like, the moon is set. That's good. That's good. I 100% agree about that. Yeah, we're not really talking about moon.
Would you, Neighbors goes on pup. Say Neighbors hits pup. He misses the first 4 weeks. Is Mooney a viable option for you at that point? Or do you think he's still fighting to be, like, the third target on the team?
I still think, in like a three wide receiver kind of fantasy team, in a fantasy league, maybe. But even that's a maybe. And it's just like, If that's a maybe, what are we doing here?
No, I can get behind it. How late, I guess, does Neighbors need to fall? Yeah, we find out he hits the pup. Or maybe we find out he just misses 2 to 4 games. Somewhere with that and that. He's not going to go on the pup, so it would just be less than 4 games, maybe 2-ish. Where are you willing to take him with his ADP?
It's tough. He played 4 games last year and got hurt. And admittedly, he really didn't even do much in those 4 games. Now, you could say that he was still trying to get the chemistry with the quarterback situation, all that. And I think it was even Russell Wilson to start the year last year.
First few games, yeah.
So, like, can we really even blame him? But he had 1 double-digit game of those 4. So it's just all on upside, right? Like, we're just drafting pure upside. I see him about wide receiver 21 right now. I'm just looking at the names around him. Like, I think I like him more than Ladd McConkey. I think I'm kind of over the Ladd McConkey phase. Jalen Waddle, I like more than him. I like Malik more than Terry. So it's just, it's interesting. Around this, like, 20-ish range, like, Davante Adams, I like a lot more. Same with Evans. And again, DJ Moore, I'm just high on Buffalo guys. But I don't know. I think you're not crazy for taking him in, like, this high, in this low 20s range. But I think it's just when you get to that level, it's just you're going to lean towards your guys.
You know what? I can't wait. I can't wait for chopped leagues, guillotine leagues this year. How far does he fall in those leagues? Because that, like, you're playing for the first week, second week, third week. This is not going to be a player you're going to want in one of those leagues. I took Rashee Rice in one last year. Dumbest thing ever.
Oh my goodness. Honestly, almost counterpoint. It's like, if you take Neighbors early and then it's just like, you just almost have to blow. If you survive week one, right, then you just have to blow your fab on whatever the highest wide receiver, the guy who did lose, is. That's probably not great because he lost.
Yeah, you take Malik Neighbors, this is a Rashad White team. You know, you missed out on taking a player that could give you some pretty quick points right there. Well, that's when you grab that running back late to replace the wide receiver you might have had to take earlier than you wanted, because now I have him ranked in the low 20s, you know, the 20 to 24 range.
Yeah.
As we get more news, that'll fluctuate. I think he is a top 10 talent as far as points per game.
But how many games is he going to miss? And it's going to be interesting because you look at Rice last year, who missed, I think it was 4 or 6 games due to his suspension. And he still ended up with, like, a much better points per game than some of the guys that were going around him. I think I can't remember the full breakdown, but it was just like, if you ended up just taking Rice, like, he would have been the better play, even though if you were scared about his suspension. So granted, suspension's obviously very different than an injury, but I don't know.
And that plays into roster sizes. Can you put suspended players in your, you know, like what's your IR situation look like?
There's a lot of intangibles.
Yeah, knowing your league. Last player here to talk about. Are you, you got more wide receiver?
One last wide receiver thing is when you think of the Jim Harbaugh or the John Harbaugh Ravens, it's just like, what are the wide receivers there? You know, like what are the. Right. But it's like, so I guess, is it because they're old and busted, or is it because his offenses has never gone through the wide receiver? Now, he's not the play caller. We kind of talked about that earlier, but that is a tiny thing I am keeping in mind where maybe he just doesn't have, maybe he's, I don't want to say he's opposed to the forward pass, but maybe that's just not his style.
To be fair, it's hard for me to really think of like some big time wide receiver, like no shade to Zay Flowers. You know, he's clearly coming into his own as we get into year four, really high on him this year. But like, I remember Torrey Smith was, you know, some good years there, Jacoby Jones, but like they haven't had DJ, like, they grab all the studs when they're done. Odell Beckham was a Raven. Not when he was good. DeAndre Hopkins was a Raven. Not when he was good. You know, like they are like the Titans in that they like grabbing these wide receivers when they're old and washed. So, rough situation.
That's fair. Funny you mentioned OBJ because that's where he is now. So if that's what you wanted to segue into next, so naturally.
Isaiah Likely. Let's talk about him instead. Let's talk about some real beefcake like coming out here, because John Harbaugh, he brought quite a bit. We didn't bring him up. But Patrick Ricard also followed as well, the fullback, which is fullback. Also why this running back room just looks so enticing. We love our fullback situations with how the NFL is going, what the running back looks like. But Isaiah Likely is going around, tight end 15. I've seen him anywhere from about 9 to, I guess, now 15 this offseason. 10 to 11th round, depending on sleeper, ESPN, Yahoo. This could be the number one target for the team, especially if Neighbor misses time. Neighbor's there, obviously, he's the number one, but what does that put him at? The number two target? You know, like it's intriguing.
Very much so. The fact that the coach took him along is such a huge praise. And there was all this talk where it was like, oh my goodness, like Mark Andrews is fading. Like we expected Likely to kind of take over the reins there. And that didn't happen. So this is a terrific situation for Likely. I think Daniel Bellinger was the name of someone we've talked about a lot in the past, where like he was always really good value, I feel like, for what he was. So I like Likely a lot. I think, like you said, it's like his range has fluctuated like crazy. I see 13 right now, which is like about the same as Jake Ferguson and Dallas Goedert, which is funny. It's all this division, but I hate to say it, but I like Likely the most. Yeah, there's just such a clear path forward for him to be the guy here.
Yeah, I think it really sets up well. No more Mark Andrews. I have heard jokes, rumors, the talking, because Daniel Bellinger, I actually think he's with the Titans now. I think he followed what's his name?
Their old Salah. Coach.
No, the Giants head coach. He's now their OC. Oh my God, why am I?
Brian Daboll. We talked
Daboll.
About
keep, Daboll. There yeah. you go. There's another tight end that's might be more athletic than Isaiah Likely here. It's Theo Johnson. Theo Johnson was, I put out a video back in January, Dynasty Bias. Theo Johnson was on there. I don't know, you're laughing at me because it was bad, but like, I had to pay for the round pick to grab him. So, well, you know, you weren't investing a lot, but immensely talented. Like, RAS score coming out of Penn State, really freaking good. I think it was one of the best we've ever seen. Best ball, I have a 9.7% exposure to Theo Johnson. Like, he is tight end 39.
That's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. It's wild. My draft strategy is... It is what it is. Well, you check out too much fantasy football if you want to find that out. But yeah, Theo Johnson, there's jokes of like, is he the Mark Andrews? And is Isaiah Likely the Isaiah Likely? Small chance of that happening. But either way, very talented tight ends on this team. How do they get used in this heavy run formation? That's what we have to ask ourselves. 7.5 wins for this team. I'm taking the over, despite it being very popular right now. I think this is the most heavily season-long bet that is out right now, is the Giants over. But I'm following.
So look, I'm a sucker for a good line. I'm also, I'm looking at Theo Johnson. Sorry to be distracted. I'm looking at his finishes last year. He's got finishes of 12, 8, 8, 11, 9, 3. So maybe egg on my face. Maybe I'm not hip to Theo Johnson, and it's a me problem.
I mean, we will find out. Time will tell. Time will tell. Goodness.
I take the over, by the way, on the Giants. They'll finish second in this division. They'll make the wild card.
Nice. Well, as we wrap it up here, why don't you go ahead and tell us, what is your finish for the NFC East?
Oh, my goodness. Obviously, go Birds. Numero uno. Giants, two. They'll make the wild card, which will be exciting to see. Cowboys continue to get 7 wins, but they do it in such an entertaining way. And Washington is in the dumpster. You get your wish, Dan Quinn's out the door, and nobody could stay healthy on that field.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels getting injured really saved that man his job, I think. I'm going to go, I feel like mine's probably the most chalky. I'm going to go the same as you on the bookends and swap the middle. We're going Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Commanders. I believe just the best roster in this division is the Eagles, hands down. I think that Sean Mannion doesn't have to do a whole lot to be better than what the offense was last year. So,
nope.
Yeah, I think they'll hold it down. I think the Cowboys defense will help propel them into that or hold that second spot. And the Giants, they'll look good this year. I think it'll be close, but we got some work to do. We still have some work to do in that with that team.
We do, but I think that they could almost be like the Patriots of last year. They're not going to win make the Super Bowl, but I think just the benefits of having that last place schedule, kind of like what we talked about with the Lions, where it's just like it just gives you a nice path to maybe overperform. So I could see that happening.
If you told me they won a wild card game, I would not be surprised. Would not be surprised at
all. Yeah. No, Harbaugh's just that kind of guy.
It was some wild playoff teams last year. But folks, that has wrapped it up for the NFC East. Mario, before we get out of here, what do you got for the people?
Oh, my goodness. Brian, these have been an absolute blast. This one stacked. Next week, we have the NFC South. How fun are those teams going to be? It might be a half-hour episode. We'll see. It'll be fun. We'll make it fun. And then who knows what we're going to do after that. We'll probably discuss our future plans for what's coming next after the divisional breakdown then. But until then, find me on Twitter or X at Mario Adamo Jr. I'll also be podcasting here. Check us out on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. We're very visual people. That's it, Brian. I mean, close us out. Where do we find you?
Yeah, we're getting out of here. Check out the website if you haven't already. Of course, QBList.com. That's where all the magic is happening. We've got articles coming out the wazoo. So much magic. And if you like baseball, here they've got some of that over there too. But yeah, we are wrapping it up. Like, subscribe. I'm at @too_much_Brian. If you're looking for me, all my stuff's on Twitter. Check me out. I'll be at the FF Expo. So for all the fans out there, we're going to have a great time. Like, subscribe. We'll see y'all next time. NFC South, last of the division recaps.